Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. God is doing things. How many of you know that in order to touch your world, in order to participate in the harvest, do you know that health is important to you? It's not real fun staying home and, you know, because your body is saying something contrary to what God's Word has told you. Is that right? It's no fun. Well, you know, sometimes we go, but I'm going to tell you what I'm praying is that you're not going to put up with it anymore. Is that okay? There's going to come a confidence, and there's going to come a boldness in each and every one of you, that when things try to come on you like that, you're going to say, hey, what are you doing here, man? This is somebody you can talk to. You can say, get out of my house, man. Amen. Hallelujah. I learned that by staying in the Word of God, the Bible, the little orange book that I would read at work, spend a few minutes just soaking in a little bit more. I would do it early in the morning before I go to work, but then while I was at work, I had a little one in my back pocket. It looked horrible, let me tell you. Had oil on it. I got wet a few times. Anybody ever heard of Phil Driscoll? Anybody? This Phil Driscoll was the lead singer and lead trumpet player for a 1970s band called Blood, Sweat, and Tears. You guys remember that? He was in a hotel, drugged up, put a gun to his head, didn't go off, got upset, opened the drawer and tossed it in the drawer. There was a Bible in there. Picked up that Bible, and he'll give you that testimony if you ever... I'm going to get him over here. That'd be cool, huh? Play his trumpet in the house, man. That'd be cool. But I'll tell you, if he gives that testimony, you'll hear what he said, man. He picked up that book, and God spoke to him. Doesn't say it was a Gideon or not, but I would tell you, I imagine it was. I would imagine it was. You know, how many of you go to a hotel and look in the drawer for a Bible? How many of you do that? I love to, man. I love to pull it out. Mark a few scriptures, bend a few corners on the table, stick it back in there. That way somebody's going to go in there. Oh, somebody's been in here. And I go, oh, look at they marked it. Praise God. God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we are not of the perishing type. Amen? Let me just say that again. Is my mic on? Hello? We are not of the perishing type. Come on, hallelujah. We are the redeemed. Whew. There's something within you. I mean, how many of you sense it right now just flowing a little bit? There's a little bit. There's something going on. Hallelujah. Do you know that we are more powerful than you even imagined? Do you know that? Do you know that you have more going for you with God than what the world has trying to come against you? That's why the world tries to come against you so much, because you are powerful in the kingdom. You are a powerful entity on the earth. Amen? How many like you being called an entity? That's weird, huh? You're an entity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Men, women of God, raising men and women of God, we're raising prophets. We're raising pastors and teachers. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Young ladies and young men that are going to preach the gospel with all their heart, with the anointing of God upon them. Amen. A mighty window will be opened from the heavens. Hallelujah. A window of unction, a window of utterance for all these young people and all of you to speak the things of God to a world that has lost focus and lost sight of God. Whew, come on, man. How many of you ready for that? I see one hand in that corner over there. Come on, pal. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't look this way, man. But praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. I feel like I had church already. Oh, man. I got blessed. The worship service just blessed me. Felt, sensed the presence of God. And man, I'll tell you. When God's in the house, let's just sit here a minute and say, God, we've sensed you here. We know you're here. Lord, open every heart to hear what you desire to say to them. Open every heart. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we are expecting to hear from you this morning, Lord. We are coming with an expectation that you're going to say something mighty and powerful, and you're going to speak it to us this morning, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are the head and not the tail. We're above and we're not beneath, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us with a holy calling, one that is not of this world, but is of the kingdom. And Father God, we thank you for that this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. So, Father, as we sang this morning, have your way. Have your way in us, Father. Hallelujah. We offer our thanks. We offer, Father, our praise. We offer our worship. We offer our hearts before you this morning. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, do you agree? If you do, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you will, open your Bibles to St. John chapter 21. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 21, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says this: after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. I just want to say this, that the resurrection has happened. Jesus has already gone in and shown himself to the disciples. But this is the third time, I think we'll read later, that this is the third time that he spoke to them after his resurrection, actually came to them. And I do want to say that I believe that this was before his ascension, where Jesus actually told them to go into the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Hallelujah, which I spoke to you about, is what he tells them. So I believe this was before that. So these guys are we're going to find that these guys are just kind of, okay, hanging around. Is that okay? How many like hanging around? Hallelujah. There's not a person in the house that likes hanging around. And I know that's a lie. You know why? Because after service, there's a bunch of people hanging around in this church. It's all right. It's good. It's a good thing. It's good to be hanging around in the house of God. Hallelujah. These guys are just hanging around. It says, verse 2 says, there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Seven guys. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we go also with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. You guys remember that? No. No. We don't have any. Don't think they knew who he was. They just said, nope. Who's this guy? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. These guys were hanging around and they were just kind of probably looking at each other. And it reminds me of, how many of you saw Finding Nemo? Anybody in the house see Finding Nemo? You guys remember that movie? Finding Nemo. Nemo got caught by a guy that was out looking for treasures in the ocean, and he goes in and he puts them in a little bag and he tosses them into a fish tank. Can you guys remember this? I don't remember what the puffer's fish name. Does anybody remember the puffer's fish? He would get mad and he'd puff up in the tank. Kind of like some of you. Never mind. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't get mad at it. Who's leaving? No, I'm just kidding. No. But he would get mad and he'd puff up. Yeah. And he had this deep voice. But anyway. What I like about this show is that they're always talking about going to the ocean. So their plan was whenever the owner would put them in these baggies, they would bounce these bags out the window, cross the street, and into the ocean. Smart fish, huh? Pretty cool. Well, the whole show goes on. They talk about it right at the end. I love it, man. Because these fish, they get across the street. They all jump in the ocean. And then that big puffer fish, because they're floating on the ocean. It's funny. I love it. But they said, what now? This puffer fish goes, what now? And you know, hey, what are you going to do now? Now they can't get out of their bags, but they're on the ocean. They can't get in it. You don't get it, do you? All right, that's okay. Praise God. But I loved it. And I feel like this is what the apostles are saying. What now? What now? Peter stands up and says, I'm going fishing. Going back to what he was used to. How many of you know he was used to doing fishing? He was a fisherman. 3 years ago, he was out on a boat. Out on the lake, mending his nets, tying them up, do whatever, however they do. And Jesus shows up, remember? And he says, hey, he goes, can I get in your boat and teach from out on the water? Because it'd be better. Peter says, yeah, sure, okay. So he lets him in his boat, pulls away from shore a little bit, and Jesus preaches. And he does the, he teaches the people on the land. So these guys, I mean, back then when it happened 3 years ago, Jesus tells Peter after he was done teaching, he says, cast your net. And Peter tells him, hey man, I already did that. We've been working all night. We've toiled all night. And right here at the end of the gospel, does it not say that they toiled, that they worked all night and they didn't catch anything? So, I mean, he said, Lord, we worked all night. Nevertheless, is what Peter said, at your word, since you said to throw the net, I'll throw it. And he tossed the net in, and the Bible says that net filled with fish. So much so that the net began to break. And he had some partners, the sons of thunder is what they're known, the sons of Zebedee. Yeah, thank you. And he beckoned to them and said, come on, man, help us, man, because this... And when they started helping, Peter falls down at Jesus' knees. He says, Lord, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, is what he said. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said something to me. He goes like this. Fear not. From henceforth, you shall catch men. Praise God. Amen. Do you realize that Jesus was prophesying? How many like being prophesied to? Jesus was prophesying, fear not, you're going to catch man. Fear not, you're going to catch man. Fear not, Jeff, you're going to catch. You're going to be a fisher of men. He's a fisher of fish, and now he's going to be a fisher of men. Jesus prophesied into the life 3 years ago. And now, it's after the resurrection, and Jesus shows up, not in the boat, but he's on the shore. And he said, have you any meat, guys? Hey, children, he says, have you any meat? They've been working all night. That's all they need is some bystander saying, hey, man, how much did you catch? We're fishermen. There's a pride issue maybe going on. Yeah, we're fishermen. We can't even catch a fish today. They've been walking with the Lord for 3 years. And the Lord tells them, cast your net on the right side of the ship. You know, it's kind of crazy. How many have been in a rowboat? Anybody ever been in a rowboat? A lot of times in a rowboat, you're facing each other. Is that right? So according to the point of the boat, you would determine which is the right side of the boat. Is that correct? It's not, you know, because one person might be sitting, oh, well, the right side is that side. Well, the right side is that way, right side. Jesus said, hey, cast your net on the right side. Do you know there's a right way to do things? How many know that? There's a right way to do things, and there's a wrong way. The Bible says it this way. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of destruction. Do you know what the right way to do anything is with God? It's what he tells you. Only. Let him tell you. Let him speak to you. So he says, hey, cast your net on the right side of the boat. I'm surprised they didn't say, who do you think you are? They said, yeah, they tossed it out there. And all of a sudden, the fish came. Is that right? That's cool, man. I love it. I love when Jesus shows up. He does things that are extraordinary, amen? Do you know that even fish obey him? Get in the net. Oh, man. Poor fish. Anyway, I've said that story about the fish. I don't want to go through that fish story again. But these poor fish, they get into the net. They pick them up. Then John, the disciple, he always writes about himself in the gospel, in his own gospel. He never names himself. He always says, the disciple that Jesus loved. I love it. Because he laid on his breast. And so he never really names himself, but it was him. He tells Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Peter hears that, he jumps out of the boat. Puts his coat on, jumps out. Heads for shore. And it seems to me there would be this kind of a... I mean, you know what deja vu is. Anybody had deja vu in there? You ever had that? Where you go, dude, I've been here before. Is that right? I've felt this before. Something about this feels like... And then you lose it. Is that right? It's kind of crazy. It's kind of cool. I love it, man. Some of the things that God has shown me, when I get to it, I'll feel that. I'll feel that deja vu. It's not the deja vu. I don't think it was. What it is, it's the Spirit of God saying, this is what I was saying to you back then. Hallelujah. You would think that those guys had felt that, and I think they did. I think they began to remember. Hey, I remember when 3 years ago we went out in a boat and Jesus filled the nets. And here we are again. Jesus, let me just say this to you. Sometimes God has spoken something to you years ago, and he's going to remind you of it even today. And I want to talk to you today about visions and dreams. Hallelujah. Visions and dreams. One day, years ago, I was praying, and I was reading through Exodus. And in Exodus, it was talking about Pharaoh, how he had commanded that the midwives would kill all the male children. He says, throw them into the river. What? You kidding me? So the midwives feared Pharaoh, but they weren't doing it. They would not do it. How many know? They feared God even more. So they knew that wasn't right, so they... And the Bible says in there, it says, there's a funny statement. It says that when Pharaoh questioned him, he goes, why aren't you doing this? And they said, because the Hebrew women are stronger, they're more lively than the Egyptian women. When they call us, before we even get there, the baby's out. So there's really nothing we can do, Pharaoh. So the Bible says this, that Pharaoh gave them a house, gave them houses so that they could summon them in there, I guess, so that would help them out. Pharaoh gave them houses. When I read that, the Lord said something to me. He goes, I'm going to give you a house. And I had always wanted, yeah, okay, cool, God. I'm going to tell Rosie, God said he's going to give us a house. I don't know what kind. Might be two-story. Might be, hey, I don't know. To this day, we're still living in a double-wide trailer. This is okay. Right, Rosie? Are you okay with that? Sorry. Hey, Lord said he was going to give us a house. One night, one day, 10 years later, maybe I'm standing outside my house and I'm looking at the fascia board and it looks like it needs painting and I got a lot of stuff to do. And I go, and I said, Lord, I thought you were going to give me a house. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, why should I give you more if you won't maintain what you have now? Whew, and that was, okay. So I painted the fascia and started cleaning up and rose in. Big project to get things looking better. Anyway. End of 2015, beginning of 2016, I was praying around this building. And the Lord reminded me of his promise. And he said, this is the house that I'm telling you about. And I go, oh yeah. See, sometimes God will promise us things, and because of our own thoughts and because of what we were thinking at the time, we don't realize that God is saying, hey, I've got a plan for him. How many of you know that God has plans for you? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to look at verse 9 through 12. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring the fish which ye have caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet their net was not broke. Jesus said to them, come and dine. What I love about this is that Jesus, before those apostles even got to the shore, before the disciples got there, he had a grill going. Is that right? Seaside grill. Amen. How many like fish in the morning? Anybody like fish in the morning? Fish and bread? I see a lot of people going, no, man. This was actually breakfast. They had toiled all night. He shows up early on the shore in the morning and he asked them, you got any bread? And they said, no. And when they show up, he had prepared for them fish and bread. Is that cool? I'm going to tell you something that God has prepared for you. Fish and bread. He has prepared for you. How many of you guys remember that I said, hey, let's begin to pray for dreams and visions? How many know that? How many remember that? How many are asking God for dreams and visions? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, listen. I could not get away from this. The Lord says, tell them I'm trying to give them dreams and visions. Can I say that to you this morning? Listen. When he said, put up Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Would you put that up? Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Right? A lot of folks would say, well, that's for old men and young men, okay? But no, it's not, because look at verse 29. Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon people, I'm going to tell you something, things start to change. He begins to talk. He begins to speak. And it says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days I will pour out of my spirit. And God will begin to speak to your heart. He will begin to show you things that he has for you personally. Is that okay? And it is okay, because he has things that he's prepared for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And sometimes we're too busy to hear. How many know that? Sometimes we're just too busy to hear what God is saying to us. So what he'll say, he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a vision. I will give you a dream. Is that cool? I said, I love it. I love it. Sometimes something that happened to you in the past, he'll remind you about it and will begin to move you in that right now. Is that right, Pat? Is that right, brother? Something that God showed you years ago. Now he sees, hey, I see why he said that. Hallelujah. Visions, dreams. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. He has prepared things for you that you don't even know about. Is that cool? So he says, tell them. Tell them. that I will give them visions and dreams. Tonight when you go to bed, just lay down before your bed and say, hey, God, I'm preparing myself tonight. As I laid me down to sleep, when you say that, oh, my soul, that you would keep. Oh, I don't know that prayer. Anyway, as I lay me down to sleep, Lord, would you begin to minister to me dreams and visions? Hallelujah. Show me, Lord, what you have for me. Hallelujah. Each and every one of us. God, there's not a person in the house that the God's not saying this to you. Look, I've got things for you. If you will allow me to, I will show you these things. But there's some things that it has to make sure. We need to know something about God. Do you know that God says if you're hungry, those that are hunger, that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Is that what the Word of God says? There's another place where it says, set your affection on things above and not on this earth. I will tell you this morning that a lot of times we don't receive from God because of the simple fact that we have not set our affections on what He has for us. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Folks, we are in the midst of a harvest. And God is saying, speak to them. Tell them that I am doing. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I've been asking for dreams. I had a dream about a co-worker that, not really a co-worker, he was somebody that would come to the mine and when I was a planner, and whenever we needed something, sometimes he'd sit at my desk and he would draw out, we would sketch out what he needed. His name is Alex Chavez. And he would draw these things. And in my dream, he's in there drawing, and we're talking and everything, and all of a sudden, he gets up, well, shake his hand, he gets up, and like he's done before, he's left and left his sketch pad on my desk. So in the dream, I grab the sketch pad, and I run out the door, and I call him, and I look at the sketch pad, and in this dream, he had drawn a beautiful angel. Beautiful, man. I woke up. So I called him the next day. Alex, I had a dream about you, bro. Asked him about his family. I was praying about him and his family, and his son was. They had a fight, and anyway, long story. But anyway, he began to weep on the other side. He goes, "Hey man, Henry, I miss you. I haven't seen you for a while, man. Can you praise God?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Come to church, man." Okay, you know how that is. I mean, it's not. Last night I had a dream. In my dream, my grandson was running to me and he's crying. And you know how, what happened? What happened, mijo? It's nothing. Thought that's God. It's God. And he's weeping. Come on, man. Another dream I had last night. I don't know where we were at, but I was with a bunch of folks. And then all of a sudden, I hear this loud, blah, 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 like a vehicle. And I asked some of the folks, I said, who's that? and they said, that's Lillian Dennis. I said, wow, boy, they need a muffler on their truck. That's what I said. And in the dream, I walked around. And there was a truck, but they were backing up, and it was a huge, it looked like a generator. It was a huge generator on the back of a truck, looked like it was brand new, and it was running. That's what was making the noise. So, sister, I don't know if you guys need a generator, but that's the dream I had. So I said, Lord, bless them with a generator. Amen. Lord, bless my grandson. Hallelujah. Lord, for Alex, Lord, let the angels of God watch over him, protect him. And Lord, let those angels minister to him and place him in the place where a person, a man of God, will begin to speak words of life into one that he greatly respects. Whew. Folks, dreams and visions, just ask. The Bible says this, you have not because you want. Ask not. Hallelujah. And then you ask because you want to consume it on your lusts. Visions and dreams. Hallelujah. Let me show you some things. I want you to look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, if you will. Write this down. Know this. Look at this. It says this. This is what Habakkuk says. He says, I will stand on my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that reads it. And verse 3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Is that right? Anytime God gives you a vision, it's for an appointed time. There's a time when that's going to happen. He is telling you, he's speaking to you this morning. And I was like, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely what? Come, and it will not tarry. How many of you use this word? Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. You said, we need to be asking for vision. I see what you're saying. The prophet's saying it here, but he's saying it a little different. Did you catch it? It's in verse 1. He says this, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. See, he's not watching to hear what he will say to you. He says, I will watch to see. And then the Lord says, write the vision. Do you get that? I don't know if you're getting it. Come on, man. Do you see that God says, stand on your tower and watch to see what he will say to you? He wants to bring you a vision. He wants to bring you a dream. He's desiring to speak to you personally. If there's anything you get out of this morning, just know this. God is saying, man, hey, my telephone line to you, my cell phone to you is on. Just use it. Ask me for these things and you'll see that I'll give them to you. He has prepared these things for you. Can I tell you that he prepared this house? Can I tell you that the property that's around this, I don't know what it's about, but he has prepared it for us, for the church, for the body of Christ in this area. There's 14.2 acres around this building, 14.2 acres. And I was standing out front by the sign out there, and the Lord has had told me 14.2, didn't know what he was saying, but when I turned around and saw that sign, that's what you want. And folks, let me tell you, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make it a reality, but he does. This right here is a reality. I don't know how it happened, but it did. It's happened. Is that right? Because he's true. He is true when he says something. I want you to look up, what was that scripture I gave you? Was it Exodus or no, it was Numbers. Look at this one. It says this. There it is. What's that? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that what? Does God lie? Why should he lie? Is that right? Why in the world would he ever lie to us? He's got no reason. So when he says something, he's going to do it. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you about who you are in him. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Can I just say this to you? The world has never seen a you and Jesus. Never, ever, ever. That's why you should never try to be like somebody else. That's why, you know, you are unique. You are special with God. There's nobody else like you. And when you and Jesus get together, watch out. Watch out. He's trying to speak to you this morning. It's a personal relationship with you that he wants, that he's calling you into, because he has prepared things for you. Watch this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 23, verse 5. Hallelujah. God prepares things, is that right? How many of you know God prepared for Jonah something? What did God prepare for Jonah? Do you guys remember?
A worm.
A worm. What else did he prepare for him? Yeah, a submarine, didn't he? Yeah, and God said, I'll get you a submarine, bro. You're not going to like the entrance door, are you? Down the tube, man. God prepares things for us. How many want? Never mind. I won't ask you that. How many of you guys want to get into a whale on the way? Hallelujah. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, as thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why in the presence of your enemies? Why would you say that God wants to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies? Hallelujah. Our enemies are around us all the time. Do you know that? No matter what you're doing, there's something around you that's going to try to keep you from locking into the Word of God. How many know that? To keep you from grabbing the Word of God and pulling it into yourself. There's something that's going to try to get you. And he says that he prepares a table for you in that midst. In the midst of that, he's going to prepare a table for you. Then it says this, thou anointest my head with oil. When you pull up and you sit down at that table, this is what's going to happen. He's going to anoint your head with oil. And then it says that oil is going to cause your cup to run over. How many of you know the world needs your cup running over? Is that right? The world needs you to sit down in that place where God has prepared for you so that you can run over. And it's different than anybody else around you. Do you know that? It's you. It's a you and God personal. You and God thing. Hallelujah. He prepares that place. Psalm 31 verse 19 says this. Oh, how great is your goodness. This is in the New King James. Oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you. Which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Hallelujah. God prepares for you. There's a preparation that's been made for you and you personally. He's already prepared it. It's cool. And he wants you to grab a hold of it. Isaiah 64:4 says this. Hallelujah. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has I seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for them that waits for him. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm hoping that you're getting a little hungry to get into the presence of God. I'm hoping that you're getting a little hungry to say, to go to bed tonight and say, God, give me a dream, God. I'm hoping that you're getting a little hungry where you say, hey, Lord, show me something about what you have for me. Because he has great things for you. Whew, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has I seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for them that wait for him. It's almost a direct word from Isaiah. Eye has not seen. The word of God says by two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. Is that right? God is saying it again. You haven't seen. You haven't heard the things that I have prepared for you. You just, you can't even think of the things that I've got for you. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. If I would have known this was something he prepared for me, would I have done it? I know. I might have gotten scared. I might have ran. Nevertheless, this is what he had prepared for me. This was going to happen if I said yes, if I allowed him to work in my life. Is that right? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, this is why you have to stay in the Word of God. You cannot get it on your own. You cannot. That's why the world is going to tell you out there, hey, man, it's foolishness. Oh, you serve Jesus? Oh, poor guy. Come on, man. Hey, no, man. You've got no idea, bro. You've got no idea, sister. Hey, hallelujah. I will serve Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will serve him in all things. It's in my heart, in all things, to serve him. The natural man does not receive these things. And you know what? Sometimes we in ourselves, we can be very natural. God might be saying something to you and you might not even receive it. Where I'm sure Peter was saying, dude, I remember this. And you said to me, Lord, that I would be a fisher of men. Peter didn't know later on he would preach and thousands would come. He had no idea what God had prepared for him. Oh, man. Listen to verse 12. I'm reading them out of, this is kind of out of sequence, but it can get distracting when you're reading it all the way through by itself. But read these. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Our power verse today is, he who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will complete it. And I just want you to think about this. God's not talking about completing your work. Well, when you get to heaven, oh, I'll be done. I'll be done. No, man, he's trying to get you complete now. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't put this down. But God is looking to get a hold of the purchased possession. Do you know that you are the purchased possession? Do you know that? He's trying to get a hold of you to bring you closer so that you might know. He's saying, you don't know how great you are. You are a purchased possession. And he said, if you will let me, let my Holy Spirit, he'll take you and he will lead you and guide you. And he will create in you what you never thought could be created. It is beyond your imagination. Is that crazy? That's it, man. It says, he who began a good work in you shall complete it. There's a song. I want you guys to sing this with me. It goes like this. He who began a good work in you. Is that right? He who began a good work in you, oh, he's faithful to complete it. Yes, he's faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. This is Philippians chapter 1. He who, you know what, stand up. You can sing better when you're standing. Work in me. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He started a work in you. He who began a good work in you. Hallelujah. Will be faithful to complete it. Yes, he's faithful, he'll complete it. Yes, hallelujah. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. All right, let's make this personal, all right? Let's go personal. Sing it. He who began a good work in me. Say it to yourself. Speak to yourself. This is the word of God. He who began a good work in me. Yes, hallelujah. Will be faithful to complete it. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. He's faithful to complete it. Thank you, Lord. He that started the work, completed in me. Thank you, Lord. He who started the work, to complete it. Do you know that He started a work in you? Do you realize that the work that God does, listen to me, that the work that God does is perfect. It's perfect. And the work that He's doing in you is perfect. That's the word. Hallelujah. That word to you this morning is He's doing a good work in you. And that good work is perfect. He's bringing you into where He desires you to be. He's bringing the church today into the place where it needs to be. There is a great light that's going to show over the earth. The glory of God is being released over the earth, and we're a part of it. The glory of God, the Word of God says, arise, shine. Arise, shine. For the glory of the Lord is upon you. You. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Ooh, hallelujah. It's upon you. And this glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It will be an undeniable glory that even the world, when they see it, they will fall and they will believe in the Lord God of Israel. They will believe in God Himself because of the glory. Hallelujah. And it comes from your communion and connection with Him, your personal communion and connection. Oh, my children, says the Lord, do you not know that I have loved you with an everlasting love? Do you not know that I have called you today for the work that I have for you? Know this, O child of God, know this, that it's time to be about your Father's business. It's time that you lay hold of the work that's before you. It's time that you grow up in full, that you grow up in full maturity in the kingdom to which you are called. Know that I've called you? Know that no man has called you, but God Himself has called you this morning. Do that. Do. Lord, I thank you, Father. Thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the opening of our hearts, for the placement of your word, Father God. And Lord, I pray that the sensitivity of their spirits would be just increased mightily today. That the soul man that's within them would learn his place. That he would be like a weaned child, like a child weaned of his mother. That their soul would find its place due to the speaking and the working of your Spirit in their lives, Father. I thank you for that, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing this morning. Lord, speak to your children. Lord, give them dreams. Wake them up tonight. Lord, give them visions. Daytime visions. evening visions. Hallelujah. Lunchtime visions. Lord, give them visions, Father God. Hallelujah, when they're in the car. Give them visions, Lord, when they're at work. Father, give them vision, Father God, just as you would have. Just as you would have them to receive, Lord. We thank you for it. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you guys for coming. Appreciate you. Know this, that God's going to do things for you. You're going to see things. There is an expectation in my heart, yeah, that you're going to receive. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.